Fair housing. Introduction. Learning objectives. After this section, you will be able to bullet, understand the impact of discrimination in real estate, given the history of civil rights laws, current investigations and trends. Bullet, identify federal, state and local fair housing laws. Bullet, be familiar with the requirements of the Fair Housing Act, TREC Rule 531.19 and Section 1101.652(b)(32). Bullet, describe steering and strategies to avoid it. Why do fair housing laws exist? A difficult past. The United States has a long, complicated history with property rights. Discriminatory policies and practices have prohibited property ownership for centuries, dating back to the 1700s against slaves and the 1800s against women. There was legislation in place that denied property rights to Native Americans and certain individuals of African, Asian, and Latin American descent. After the Civil War, the Civil Rights Act of 1866 was passed, but it did not erase the impact of decades of denying certain classes of people the right to own and control their own property. Means of discrimination. Redlining. Laws were implemented allowing zoning by race. The Federal Homeowners Corporation, a U.S. government agency, created red, yellow, and green color-coded maps indicating risk levels for lenders. Areas highlighted in red were considered high-risk lending areas, generally with high minority populations. You may have heard of this practice as redlining. Deed restrictions. After World War II, there was a rush to build housing in areas right outside of cities, further segregating populations around the country. Many of these developments had restrictions in their covenants that prohibited people of color from living within the developments. It was not until 1948 that restrictive deed covenants were deemed unenforceable. The impact of redlining and restrictive deed covenants affected families for years to come. A history of civil rights. Laws impacting real estate. In recent history, there have been several important pieces of legislation and court cases that have laid the foundation for civil rights in real estate as it exists today. 1. The Civil Rights Act of 1968. The Civil Rights Act of 1968, commonly known as the Fair Housing Act, was passed to protect consumers from discrimination in mortgage lending, leasing, buying and selling a home, and engaging in activities related to housing. Congress had considered the bill from 1966 through 1967. But in 1968, after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., President Lyndon B. Johnson urged Congress to act, resulting in the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1968. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in the sale, lease, or financing of housing based on race, color, religion, and national origin. Amendments in 1974 added sex as a protected class, followed by amendments in 1988 adding protections based upon familial status and disabilities. 2. Jones versus Alfred H. Mayer Company. The groundbreaking Supreme Court decision in the case of Jones versus Alfred H. Mayer Company in 1968 confirmed the government could regulate the sale of public and private property, making racial discrimination illegal. Why does fair housing matter for you? Understanding the history of fair housing laws is important for license holders because these laws were established to prevent discrimination and provide equal opportunity for everyone. Fair housing laws continue to evolve. This understanding complements the fiduciary responsibility license. Holders owe their clients and the duties owed to customers and the public. it is crucial that you follow and promote fair housing laws. While many of the formal restrictions on an individual's property rights are no longer, these practices have literally drawn maps and condoned land development in ways that still put people at a disadvantage. NAR's Code of Ethics, requirements related to discriminatory practices. Approved recommendations and standards of practice. Members of the National Association of Realtors, NAR, organization must also consider the NAR Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice. Article 10 says, Realtors shall not deny equal professional services to any person or be parties to any plan to discriminate for reasons of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, and national origin. In 2025, NAR approved a series of recommendations from NAR's Professional Standards Committee. That standard of practice 10-5 says Realtors, in their capacity as real estate professionals, in association with their real estate businesses, or in their real estate related activities, shall not harass any person or persons based on race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, and national origin. As used in the current Code of Ethics, June 2025, harassment is unwelcome behavior directed at an individual or group based on one or more of the above protected characteristics, where the purpose or effect of the behavior is to create a hostile, abusive, or intimidating environment, which adversely affects their ability to access equal professional services or employment opportunities. How connected are TREC and the NAR? Does TREC enforce the National Association of Realtors, NAR, Code of Ethics? No. TREC is the government agency that regulates real estate license holders in Texas. When a license holder violates TREC rules or state laws, TREC can take disciplinary action that can include license suspension or revocation. The NAR Code of Ethics is enforced statewide by Texas Realtors, the voluntary membership organization for real estate license holders. TREC does not enforce the NAR Code of Ethics, and complaints should go to Texas Realtors. NAR Fair Housing Resources. NAR's website has many fair housing resources available, including recent court cases, videos, and statistics. These resources can provide more detail on the topics discussed in this chapter and provide more background to the NAR Code of Ethics requirements related to discriminatory practices. NAR has also compiled its fair housing resources into one page that may serve as a useful reference point for those digging in deeper to the NAR Code of Ethics. TREC requirements related to discriminatory practices. TREC has requirements regarding discriminatory practices. Section 1101.652, B32 of the Texas Occupations Code authorizes TREC to take disciplinary action if the license holder, while acting as a broker or sales agent, discriminates against an owner, potential buyer, landlord, or potential tenant on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, national origin, or ancestry, including directing a prospective buyer or tenant interested in equivalent properties to a different area based on race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, national origin, or ancestry of the potential owner or tenant. The statute above is reflected in TREC rules under Chapter 531, Canons of Professional Ethics and Conduct, which states in Section 531.19, Discriminatory Practices. A. No real estate license holder shall inquire about, respond to, or facilitate inquiries about, or make a disclosure of an owner, previous or current occupant, potential purchaser, lessor or potential lessee of real property, which indicates or is intended to indicate any preference, limitation, or discrimination based on the following. TREC prohibited bases of discrimination. 1. Race. 2. Color. 3. Religion. 4. Sex. 5. National origin. 6. Ancestry. 7. Familial status. 8. Disability. And B. For the purpose of this section, disability includes AIDS, HIV-related illnesses, or HIV infection, as defined by the Centers for Disease Control of the United States Public Health Service. Fair housing complaint trends. National trends in fair housing complaints. Each year, the National Fair Housing Alliance releases its Fair Housing Trends Report. This report can be used as a reference point for license holders to see fair housing complaint trends nationally and by state. Important highlights from the most recent report available are covered in this section. Harassment complaints related to fair housing. There were 440 harassment complaints on the basis of disability, 316 harassment complaints on the basis of race, 260 harassment complaints on the basis of sex, 102 harassment complaints on the basis of familial status, and 97 harassment complaints on the basis of color. While almost every protected basis saw an increase in harassment cases from 2022 to 2023, a few bases saw dramatic increases in complaints. Harassment complaints on the basis of color saw an increase of 470.59%, and harassment complaints on the basis of race saw an increase of 114.97%. Important details on national fair housing data. Select each tab to learn more about national trends and data related to fair housing complaint cases. How many fair housing complaints were received in 2023? There were 34,150 fair housing complaints received in 2023 by private nonprofit fair housing organizations, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, Fair Housing Assistance Program, FHAP, agencies, state and local agencies that administer fair housing laws, that HUD has determined to be substantially equivalent to the Fair Housing Act, and the Department of Justice, DOJ. This is an increase of about 1,100 from complaints registered in 2022. How do the number of fair housing complaints from 2023 compare to recent years? It is also the highest number of fair housing complaints recorded since the Alliance began producing its Fair Housing Trends report in the mid-1990s. Further, there has been nearly a 9% increase in fair housing complaints since 2020. Private nonprofit fair housing organizations processed 75.52% of complaints, a 5.68% increase from the previous year. Which type of discrimination is the most reported? Discrimination based on disability accounted for the majority, 52.61% of complaints filed with fair housing organizations, HUD and FHAP agencies. What about other types of complaints filed? There were 1,521 complaints of harassment reported last year, an increase of 66.23%. There were 824 complaints based on color reported last year. This represents an increase of 35.3%. Where does Texas fall in terms of fair housing complaints filed? Complaints in Texas roughly mirror national standards in terms of discrimination type. Texas is a state that has a low number of complaints, with 1,309 complaints filed in 2024. While that is good news, there are violations that are never reported for fear of retaliation, particularly in rental scenarios in which the victim of a fair housing violation fears retaliation from his or her landlord. What these data show and their importance. Select each item to read the takeaways from the Fair Housing Trends report. 1. Overall, the 2024 data indicate that fair housing complaints continue to rise nationally. Disability-based discrimination complaints make up the largest percentage of those complaints. 2. License holders who are equipped with an understanding of fair housing complaints and an understanding of fair housing laws serve as the front line in protecting the consumer from fair housing violations. 3. Don't think about fair housing as a way I can get into trouble. Instead, think about it as a way that can I help protect real estate consumers in the state of Texas. Real-world examples of fair housing violations. Select the arrows to navigate between cases involving fair housing violations, reading each complaint and how the case was ultimately resolved. United States versus City National Bank. Complaint. The DOJ alleged that City National Bank engaged in unlawful redlining in Los Angeles by avoiding providing credit services to majority Black and Hispanic neighborhoods because of the race, color, and national origin of the people living in those neighborhoods. The complaint also alleged that while City National Bank avoided providing mortgage lending services to majority Black and Hispanic neighborhoods, other banks received more than 6 times as many applications in the same neighborhoods. United States versus City National Bank. Resolution. The consent order requires the bank to invest at least $29.5 million in a loan subsidy fund to increase credit opportunities for majority Black and Hispanic neighborhoods in Los Angeles County, and will also open a new full-service branch in a majority Black and Hispanic neighborhood. United States versus SSM Properties, LLC. Complaint. The DOJ alleged that the owners and manager of 3 apartment complexes in Pearl, Mississippi, discriminated based on race in violation of the Fair Housing Act by steering Black testers towards one complex and falsely representing that the other 2 complexes did not have vacancies. United States versus City, National Bank. Resolution. The consent decree requires defendants to pay $110,000 in damages and attorney's fees and $13,000 in civil penalties. United States versus LJLD LLC Bridgewater. Complaint. The DOJ alleged the owners, developers, and builders of the Bridgewater Residences apartments in St. Louis violated the accessibility requirements of the Fair Housing Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act in the design and construction of a complex. United States versus LJLD LLC Bridgewater. Resolution. The settlement agreement states the defendants will retrofit public and common use areas of the complex, as well as multifamily units covered by the law to make them accessible to people with disabilities. They will also pay $18,500 into a settlement fund to compensate individuals who were harmed. Other accessibility cases in 2023. The DOJ filed or settled 5 cases challenging the inaccessible design and construction of residential properties in fiscal year 2023. Exceptions to the Fair Housing Act. The Fair Housing Act applies to most, but not all, types of housing. Some exceptions to the Fair Housing Act are as follows. 1. Owner-occupied buildings with 4 or less units. 2. Single-family homes rented without using a broker. There are caveats to this, but the broker part is what you should note. 3. Religious organizations. This is complicated, so if you are doing work on behalf of a religious organization, know the limits of this exception. 4. Private clubs and housing for the elderly. Fair housing, do's and don'ts. What is steering when showing properties? steering in real estate is about showing properties or not showing properties based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, familial status, or disability. It includes directing clients to view property in certain neighborhoods or not providing information on housing available in certain areas because of a particular status. Steering is a violation of fair housing laws. License holders must keep their biases in check and not make assumptions based on stereotypes. Consumers must be allowed to choose which communities and neighborhoods they want to live in. Steering might be something that isn't intentional, but you must always be intentional in your work. Fair housing, advertising, and marketing prohibitions. Under the Fair Housing Act, it is illegal for anyone to advertise or make any statement that indicates a limitation or preference based on race, religion, color, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. This prohibition against discriminatory advertising applies to all housing, including single-family and owner-occupied housing, that is otherwise exempt from the Texas Fair Housing Act. Without exception. Did you notice that we said it is illegal for anyone to do these things? By anyone, we and the government mean anyone. While there are certain carve-outs for certain types of properties or transactions, this prohibition applies to all, including owner-occupied buildings and single-family residences. What to do and what not to do. Fair housing dues. Select each item to learn more about how to comply with fair housing laws. 1. Understand your responsibilities as a license holder under federal and state fair housing laws. This course contains a lot of information, but there are also a lot of resources and training modules available online through HUD, the Texas Workforce Commission, TWC, and Texas Department of Housing and Community Affairs, TDHCA, that go into more detail. You can learn about fair housing in every area of real estate. 2. Provide your sponsored sales agents. Training about fair housing, if you are a broker, it is your duty to ensure your sponsored sales agents are current on real estate laws and regulations. It makes your sponsored sales agents better at what they do and more confident in identifying fair housing issues that may affect your clients. 3. Don't assume you know which housing choice best fits your client. These assumptions are often based on their disability, familial status, or other protected statuses. Give your clients all the information about all the available properties that meet their stated criteria. 4. Focus on the client's specific financial situation and budget. Focus on a client's budget and not personal assumptions on where you believe they should live. Find housing options that meet the budget and any other requested criteria. 5. Be mindful of sharing your opinion instead of facts, especially descriptions of neighborhoods, schools, or crime. 6. Don't be afraid to say you cannot answer certain questions. You are not allowed to answer questions like, what kind of people live in this neighborhood? Because of fair housing laws. That is not a breach of your fiduciary duty. You are following the law. 7. Understand the difference between a request for reasonable accommodation and reasonable modification. Having this knowledge will help you help your client. 8. Make a difference. Commit to treating all your clients and parties to a transaction fairly. Do not assume that you don't discriminate, so therefore you don't need to be worried about fair housing. 9. Teach those around you. A license holder committed to doing the right thing under fair housing and actively working to teach the real estate community about fair housing is a big step in the right direction. Fair housing don'ts. Select each item to learn more about what not to do when it comes to fair housing. 1. Don't refuse to rent or sell housing. Every renter or buyer has the right to lease or purchase property. 2. Don't refuse to negotiate for housing. Every individual also has the right to negotiate in a real estate transaction. 3. Don't advertise housing only to preferred groups of people. License holders cannot display or impose a limitation or preference to specific individuals or groups of individuals when advertising housing and housing opportunities. 4. Don't show apartments or homes exclusively in certain neighborhoods. This can be taken as steering, directing certain individuals to properties in specific neighborhoods. 5. Don't say that housing is unavailable for inspection, sale, or rental, when in fact it is available. This can be taken as steering, directing certain individuals to properties in specific neighborhoods. 6. Don't set different terms, conditions, or privileges for sale or rental of a dwelling. License holders should not set the terms, conditions, and privileges that apply for the lease or purchase of a dwelling. Those responsibilities are not theirs to create or change. 7. Don't provide different housing services or facilities. The same housing services or facilities. Access should be offered to every client. 8. Don't deny access to or membership in a facility or service, such as multiple listing service, related to the sale or rental of housing. It is not the license holder's place to determine who does and does not have access to particular facilities or services related to a transaction. 9. Don't refuse to make certain modifications or accommodations for people with disabilities. Those with disabilities are also entitled to fair and accessible housing and rentals in real estate. Fair housing and disability rights. The importance of fair housing. The Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in the sale, rental, and financing of dwellings and in other housing-related transactions based on race, color, national origin, religion, sex, and familial status. You may have missed the rental component before, but it is crucial that license holders engaging in leasing and property management understand rental properties are governed by the Fair Housing Act. If you don't understand these concepts and how they apply in the rental market, you could be on a dangerous path and ultimately harm consumers. Even if leasing and property management is not your area of practice, make sure you pay close attention. You never know when your area of practice is going to change. Plus, being knowledgeable in fair housing in any type of brokerage activity will only make you a better license holder who can spot discrimination and speak up. 2 separate laws provide rights for people with disabilities. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, and the State and Federal Fair Housing Acts. This section will focus on the Fair Housing Act because it applies to private property. What is a disability? Under the FAIR Housing Act, a disability means a physical or mental impairment which substantially limits one or more of a person's major life activities, a record of the impairment, or being regarded as having an impairment. What follows are some specific prohibitions related to disability under the Fair Housing Act. Every license holder should be mindful of these rights for renters with disabilities. Prohibited acts against individuals with disabilities. Bullet: housing providers may not refuse to rent housing to a person with a disability because of that disability. Bullet: housing providers may not have tenant selection criteria, fees, or conditions that are different from those applied or provided to people without disabilities. Bullet: housing providers cannot require people with disabilities to live only on certain floors or certain areas of the community. Bullet: housing providers cannot refuse to make repairs or limit access to public or common areas, parking privileges, or services available to other residents. Common requests for those with disabilities. 1. Reasonable accommodation. Requests: people with disabilities have a right to request a reasonable accommodation, which is a change in rules, policies, practices, or services necessary. So someone with a disability has an equal opportunity to use and enjoy a dwelling, including public and common use areas. When feasible, housing providers like landlords and property managers are required to provide reasonable accommodations when tenants or prospective tenants make a request because of their disability. Any costs associated with reasonable accommodation requests are at the landlord's expense. However, there has to be a connection between the requested accommodation and the disability. Just because someone has a disability and makes a request doesn't mean it has to be granted. Here are other tips about reasonable accommodation requests. Requests can be verbal or written. There are no specific words like reasonable accommodation that must be included in a request, and requests can be from the person with the disability, by a family member of that person, or someone else requesting it on a person's behalf. If a request meets all the requirements, but the property owner or manager still refuses to make a reasonable accommodation, this could be unlawful discrimination. 2. Assistance animal requests. Animals that provide assistance, perform tasks for the benefit of a person with a disability, or provide emotional support that alleviates one or more identified effects of a person's disability are considered assistance animals. People with assistance animals can request a reasonable accommodation to allow their assistance animal to live with them. This is true even in properties that have a no pets policy. According to HUD, an assistance animal is not a pet. Under the law, assistance animals do not have to have a certificate or specific training. 3. Reasonable modification requests. Some prospective or current tenants may request a reasonable modification. A reasonable modification under the Fair Housing Act is a structural change made to an existing premises, occupied or to be occupied by a person with a disability, in an effort to afford such person full enjoyment of the premises. Examples of modifications that typically are reasonable include widening doorways to make rooms more accessible for people using wheelchairs, installing grab bars in bathrooms, adding a ramp to make a primary entrance more accessible, or altering a walkway to provide access to a public or common use area. Importantly, the Fair Housing Act provides that the tenant is generally responsible for costs associated with a reasonable modification.